You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Excellent. Guys, welcome to the show. Tonight's episode of Razor Riffs is brought to you by thestandupmagazine.net. You can download your copy of thestandupmagazine.net by going to www.thestandup.net. And you could download this month's issue with Theo Vaughn. Enter your email address, and in the email address, write code word RAZA, and they'll put you in for a drawing for a weekend in Vegas. Also, this episode is partly sponsored by Raccoon TV, where you could go on the Facebook and go on their like page at Facebook Raccoon TV and hit like. Back to the show, guys. How's it going, Helen Lee?
How's it going, Keith Reza?
Okay, talk a little louder.
How's it going, Keith Reza?
Yeah, talk louder.
How's it going, Keith Reza?
I'll just turn both the mics on. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hear that better. Huh?
Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Are we live?
So, folks, tonight's guest is the great Maz Jabroni. Is it Jabroni or Jabroni?
The way it was pronounced that I heard was Jabroni.
Jabroni. Maz Jabroni.
Mount Maz Jabroni.
And he's going to be calling in. The thing is, he emailed me earlier today, said that he had to be done 15 minutes early, and I misread that email, so we got to kill half an hour.
At least it wasn't 45 minutes early.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But for those who don't know about Maz Jabroni, is it Jabroni or Jabroni?
Jabroni.
Jabroni. Maz Jabroni. He's a very funny comedian. He's also done acting. You know that thing that you do? Acting?
Yeah, we try to.
He's been in movies like 13 Going on 30, yeah. Friday After Next, and he has a new movie, which is called Jimmy Vestwood.
That came out around April of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's his movie that he wrote and produced.
Jimmy Vestwood. American Hero.
It's called Jimmy Vestwood?
Yes.
I thought it was Vestwood.
I think that's a V you're looking at.
Yeah.
You're changing it into a W.
Well, you wrote W.
No, that's a V.
Oh, okay. Well, it's Jimmy Vestwood.
You don't have your glasses on.
I don't have my glasses. I forgot my glasses. So I haven't seen the movie. Have you seen the movie?
I haven't yet, but I'm sure going to see it after we are guests, and,
Yeah, John Hurt is in it, I know that.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I forgot that, and I guess Maz will tell us about his experiences with John Hurt. Yeah. Great actor.
Great actor. We saw Maz at the Comedy Store a couple weeks ago. Do you remember that?
Yes, we did.
And he killed it.
Funny guy.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
Very funny. And he's at his son's soccer practice right now, according to his email, and he said he's going to call during the soccer practice, which is very nice of him because, you know, a lot of dads like to watch their sons play soccer.
Yeah, no, I think, he's a family guy. He's a real sweetheart of a man. And, I'm so happy to have him on. I guess he could tell us about soccer.
You've never played soccer in LA?
No, I said he's telling us about his son playing soccer. No, yeah. I haven't played soccer.
Did you know?
I haven't.
Did you know today was National Joke Day?
No, I did not.
Yeah, everyone on Twitter is posting like national jokes about. And like everyone like posts all these jokes and stuff. So I've been posting jokes.
Did you put one up?
I did. I didn't put one that I wrote. I put one that other people wrote.
Well, it's
because it's National Joke Day. You don't want to put on your own joke.
Oh, I thought you had to put your own on.
Yeah. Well,
so
no.
You find any joke that you like.
Yeah, like a real joke.
Okay.
Like a Mitch Hedberg joke or something. You know
that's very
mean?
Good.
Like, what joke did I put? I don't remember. I put a Kirk Fox joke on if I married Megan Fox, I want to change my last name.
Oh, how cute.
That's funny, because his
Megan
last name's
Fox. Fox.
And then Kirk Fox.
Kirk Fox. Yeah, that's clever.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, National Joke Day, and Ralphie May was tweeting Mitch Hedberg jokes, so that was... You don't have a Twitter. You used to have a Twitter, but...
You know what? I'm rebooting that Because I didn't.
What was your Twitter name?
Bruce. No, it was.
It was Alan Lee Commie.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah, but there was also not Bruce Lee. Bruce. I know it's. It just confused the hell out of me, and so I'm going to have a new one. Do those just expire by through non-use? No, they're on there forever.
I have no idea. I don't know. You know what's weird about Twitter is a lot of people have. There's a lot of fake spam accounts, so I'm sure they do expire.
They have
because people tweet me who I don't even know.
Yeah.
And then they come back and retweet me like months later. So, I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure everyone gets. I think they're called trolls. Twitter trolls.
Exactly.
Not spam. Twitter trolls. Yeah.
Interesting.
So.
A little research on that.
On the trolls?
Yeah, and the whole Twitter expiration. I'm getting in a new account and I'll announce it here and you'll get it and everybody will be following and not following and all of that.
Following is cool. I just went through my list of unfollowing people.
Oh.
So it's 7:05. Moz is supposed to call any second.
And yeah, well, you know.
He's calling. He's calling.
Oh, here we go.
All right, ready? Hello? Moz? We just got a call. Should we call him back? Okay, we'll try calling.
You're on the board there. I mean, you know how to do this, right? He just answer.
And I think there problem with recording device. What does that mean?
You know, we might need to call someone.
Can you get Ronan?
Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. We're having a little technical break here, so don't leave us.
No, I'll try calling him one more time. Is it ringing? No. There's no call. Yeah, can you go get him?
Oh, thank you.
So he tried to call in, and then it hung up on him, and then we tried to call him back.
Help is on the way.
This is Ronan, the engineer.
Engineer Ronan. There's a comic book called Ronan by...
Skype is not responding. Excellent. This is awkward.
Silence is golden, except in radio.
So, Ronan, how is your day, man?
It's been good. It was bring your daughter to school to work today because she didn't start school today.
He's calling me right now. Hey, Moz, the radio just went up. We're going to call you right now. All right, bye. Awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
All right. We got the technos.
Wait, it's ringing. All right, problem with recording device. What does that mean? Way I could put my iPhone on it? Oh, he's calling right now. Should I answer? Hey, Moz, are you there?
Yeah, finally got through. How you doing?
Thank you, Ronan.
Sorry about that. When you called, the radio, the Skype thing wasn't connected, I guess. I don't know. But
yeah, it was interesting. It wasn't connecting somehow.
Yeah, we tried to call you back. And
I think it was terrorist activities.
Yeah, definitely. How you guys doing? You good?
Good. We're doing good,
so
man.
So glad to have you on.
I
was reading your email, and I misread it. You have to leave in 20 minutes because your kid's playing soccer. What position does he play?
Yeah, it's 7:30. Well, he's only 8, so he was playing midfield, but they're kind of still learning as they go. It's not it's actually they're pretty serious about it. It's a club team.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, you see them getting better, so it's good.
Yeah, I played soccer when I was that age. I wasn't good at soccer, though. So.
Oh, is that
right? And the ball would always, hit the goal, I'd be, just standing there. I wasn't a very good sports guy.
That's funny.
Did you play sports?
Yeah, I played soccer. I played soccer growing up.
Yeah? Were you good?
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty good. I was a good player. That's I was a good player, and yeah, I was always pretty athletic.
Huh. That's great. Yeah, man.
So, do you guys want to get started?
Yeah, we're going to get started.
We thought we were getting started.
we just talked.
Oh, we already were started.
Yeah.
This is very loose, Moz. You can just take off and, you know, say anything you wish. That's how we run this thing.
Well, cool. I know time limit's hard, but we have a couple of Twitter questions that we should probably just start getting to if you want to do that.
Sure, go for it.
Tell us about the Access of Evil comedy tour. Is it still going to go on?
No, man. The last time we did that was 2007. So we haven't done it in 9 years. That was a tour that we did with me, Ahmed Ahmed, Aaron Cater, Dino Bidala. It was four guys with all of us Middle Eastern backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And it had actually originally started with Mitzi Shore, who's the owner of the Comedy Store, in the year 2000.
Oh.
She was watching the news, and she's Jewish, and she saw that there was the latest uprising with the Palestinians and the Israelis. And so she said, I feel like there's going to be a need for a positive voice for Middle Eastern people in America in the near future. This is before September 11th.
Yeah.
So she put us together back then, and she called it the Arabian Nights. and that's what we toured as for a little bit. And then eventually in 2005, we changed the name to Access to Evil, and it became a special on Comedy Central by 2007. And then we toured a little bit with it, ended up going to the Middle East and doing some shows. But then that was it. End of 2007, we stopped doing it together, and we all kind of went our own ways.
Yeah, but did you enjoy like going on tour with your buddies and stuff? I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah,
is
no, fun. It was fun. Yeah, definitely, that was really fun. You know, it's always good when you're on tour. You want to have people that you can hang out with, and that was a group of guys that we were able to hang out with, and it was fun. It was definitely a fun thing. It definitely helped all of us kind of. Make a name for ourselves. That Comedy Central special helped us a lot, and also people took a lot of our clips and they put it online. So YouTube was just really starting to take off around then, and that's when I think it really helped us become known as who we are. And so it was a big thing for all of us.
Yeah. And then you just had a movie release called Jimmy Vestwood, which you wrote.
Yeah, so I co-wrote, co-produced, and then starred as this character named Jimmy Vestwood. It's called Jimmy Vestwood, American Hero, and I describe it as the Persian Pink Panther meets Borat. I'd always been a big fan of the Pink Panther with Peter Sellers, the old Pink Panther.
Oh, yeah, me too. They're...
And I wanted to do a movie that was kind of slapsticky and silly. And I also wanted to do a movie where the guy who saves the day happens to be of Middle Eastern descent, because we just don't have that in American movies.
Yeah.
So in this movie, the guy who's the hero of the film is an Iranian guy. Like I said, it's a silly comedy. We got into the Austin Film Festival a couple years ago and won a couple of awards for Best Comedy by the audience and Best Comedy by Jury. So we got two awards there. And then we basically self-released it this year in limited release, and then it'll come out on Showtime as well as digitally. And actually, digitally, it's like iTunes and all those things starting in October, and then Showtime end of the year. So, you know, it's got a life of its own.
Yeah.
And it was a good thing to do. I always tell people, you got to create your own opportunity.
Yes.
Just keep creating, keep writing. And it was fun. It was a challenge, though. It ain't easy, you know. Especially making an independent movie in these days, in the age of all these big blockbusters, and you're competing against, you know, your Captain Americas and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tough place to be, but we did it.
You filmed the movie 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, we made the movie, I believe, let me think about it. We made the movie end of, we did 18-day shoot end of 2013.
Uh-huh.
Then we edited it and did some focus grouping and a sort in 2014, did the festival in 2014. And then we kind of got stuck in a little bit of a rut because we were looking for a distributor. And we had a foreign sales agent who was going to help us find one, and that just kind of took most of 2015. It just slowed us down, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so that's what I say, like, when you're an independent film, there's a lot of pitfalls. So it slowed us down, and it wasn't until earlier this year when we said, you know what, we're not going to wait for anybody. We're just going to go ahead and do it ourselves, and that's what we did.
All right.
Yeah. And then you co-wrote it. How long did it take you to co-write it? Like, did you guys write?
You know, me and my writing partner, we were writing it for like almost, I don't know, almost like 10 years or so. And,
wow.
And then we weren't commissioned to write it by anybody, so we just kept meeting together, writing. There was several different iterations of it as we kept writing, kept finding a few people that said they may invest in it and ended up not investing in it. And so it was just a lot of on and off. And then finally, the version that we filmed was really, like, it changed a lot from what we had until the 6 months before we filmed it. It changed a lot. Like, we got together and added some other story plot lines and stuff. And again, I say, like, especially if you're making an independent film, it's not done till you've locked it.
Yeah.
Till you've shot it and edited it. So the beauty of that was, like, you know, I had friends working, you know, acting with us and some of the stuff. So it was beautiful to be able to tell them, hey, just go ahead and whatchamacallit, go ahead and improvise some scenes. And, you know, we already had, like, we would get it the way we wanted it, and then we would have fun with it. So there was a lot of that going on set.
Yeah. Well, what was it like working with John Hurt? I mean,
yeah,
that was cool, man. John Hurt was cool. You know, he's been around for a long time. Guy is he's a well-known actor, and he was kind of we needed somebody to play that part. Basically, it was like we were basing it on Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
And he did a really good job with it, man. He came in and played the bad guy well for us. So it was a good get for us.
Yeah. I could hear the kids playing soccer.
What's that?
I said,
you
I
hear the kids playing soccer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right there. They're playing. Yeah, they're screaming and running around. So.
So which one do you enjoy doing more, doing the stand-up comedy or making movies?
You know, it's all got. I enjoy it all, and for different things. You know, the beauty of stand up is that you get immediate satisfaction, you get immediate reaction, and also I felt like doing the movie. It was like once it's locked, you can't really change it. So I kind of felt like there were times when you'd be watching the movie in a theater with an audience, and you'd be like, oh, I would have changed that, I would have changed that. And sometimes it makes you just feel like, you know, it causes a little bit of anxiety because you're like, oh, man, they're judging me on this movie and there's nothing I can do about it. Whereas a stand-up, you know, you get up, you know, I get up 7-8 times a week. If I have a bad set, I'm up again the same night usually.
Yeah.
And if the set's not going well, I can always do crowd work or change my material or whatever. So that was the big difference, was just learning that with a movie it's kind of final and there's nothing you can do at a certain point. So
I actually saw you at the Comedy Store a few weeks ago, and you were excellent at crowd work, and I just really admire crowd work.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
I think just doing it, you know, I've been at the store now for like, what is it, 16 years, maybe.
Wow.
17 years, and I learned early on, part of it was just being able to get up late at night in front of 4 or 5 people. And you know, that was early on when I first started, they'd give me the late spot, so I'd be up in front of 4 or 5 people, and I realized that you can't just do your set all the time, you gotta talk to them. So
yeah.
I started doing that, and now in my shows I tend to talk to people if I feel like it, and I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, you're excellent at it.
Thanks.
Yeah. What comics really inspired you growing up? I know you've said Eddie Murphy did, but are there any other ones?
Yeah, well, Eddie Murphy was, when I was a kid, I was like 10 years old or so, he was one of the first guys I saw that made me want to do this in the first place. But once I started doing stand-up, I think I started listening more to like Richard Pryor, Carlin, some of these guys. I just like the fact that Pryor also does social commentary, and I love it if I'm able to talk a little bit about some political stuff in my act. To me, it's a bonus to the joke. So if I can do that, I do that. And so yeah, Pryor, Carlin, even Cosby, and I was just a big fan of comedy. I mean, that's why I got into stand-up comedy. I was a big fan of comedy. I would watch as much as I could. I have the ticket stub from 1987 when I saw Eddie Murphy live at the Oakland Coliseum. I have the ticket stub from I have the ticket stub from the Fillmore when I saw Sam Kinison performing in San Francisco at the Fillmore.
Oh, Kinison, yeah, he was great.
I've seen a lot of those guys. I remember seeing Don Marrero when I was younger.
Oh, wow.
He was part of they did something called Day on the Green in San Francisco. They would play they would do a comedy show. Don Marrero was there. I think Robin Williams was there. So I was a big fan of all those guys, man.
Yeah. Now, did you ever work with any of them besides at the Comedy Store? Because I know everyone works with everyone at the Comedy Store, but, like, ever go on a tour with any of these guys?
No, I never went on a tour with any of those guys. I mean, you know, obviously Pryor, I think, either passed away or I think he passed away a little bit after I started, but, you know, I never got a chance to work with him, obviously, at, or Carlin or any of these guys. But I see, you know, now it's pretty cool to be, like, friends with Don Marrera now, who was somebody who I used to watch when I was younger, and I hang with him. You know, I'll see him at the store, I'll see him at the factory. That's a good thing. But the other guys, I never got a chance to. Even Robin Williams, I was really upset, obviously, as everybody was when we heard about it. I actually went to the same high school as he did, and I was hoping that I would run into him one day at the Comedy Store or something, but I never got a chance to before he passed away.
Yeah, Robin Williams story, because I have a form of autism called Asperger's syndrome, and when I was 6 or 7, he spoke to our support group. I mean, I never met him, but I saw him, you know what I mean? And he had a form of it too, but it was something he never really admitted, but he talked to all these kids. It was a group of like 300 or 400 kids, and I just thought that was really cool.
Wow. Yeah, I've only heard good things about him. I have a friend of mine who had some, I don't know if it was a relative who had cancer or what it was, but he said like they wrote to Robin Williams and he showed up and, like, you know, he was there for them. He seemed like a really good guy.
Oh. So, Alan Lee, do you have any questions for Moz?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You grew up in Northern California, and I met Allison Eastwood, and you know, it was Tiburon. Is that near Piedmont in Marin County?
Piedmont is in the East Bay. Marin County is where Tiburon is in Marin County. Yes, I grew up in Tiburon. And Marin County is north of San Francisco.
There you go.
And it's across the bridge from the East Bay. So yeah, that's where I grew up. That's actually, like I was saying, Robin Williams went there.
That's right.
Greg Behrendt went to my high school.
Redwood.
Pete Carroll, the coach for the Seahawks, he went there.
A lot of luminaries.
So those are the people from there.
I just thought it was funny with, you know, with your comments about, you know, Jack Bauer. And you know, all the macho American heroes, and then you were near, of all people, Clint Eastwood in the same section of the country.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Clint Eastwood was in Carmel or
Carmel,
something, wasn't
he? Yeah, I think so. Exactly.
Yeah. So he was a little south of where I was.
A little south of you, yeah. The fates.
Yeah.
Now, Moz, can you give advice to, like, young aspiring stand-up comics? Like, because everyone has a story on how they reach their success, like your story.
Listen, man, my advice is always pretty simple. I just say, get on stage as much as you can and write as much as you can. Really, it's just like, you know, like, you should get up 5-10 times a week.
Yeah.
And you should just keep writing. Like, you know, if you're doing the same material, you know, 4 or 5 years later, you want to really look at that and be like, okay, what can I do to come up with some new stuff? Put yourself in uncomfortable positions. You know, when I became a regular at the Comedy Store, it really helped me grow exponentially, because, again, I was in situations that were just the bar was so low, because I was like, okay, it's 1 a.m, nobody cares. So I felt okay risking and failing, you know, and not getting a laugh at certain times, you know. So really, it's just get up. That's it.
I mean, just risk. Just go crazy, right?
Risk, go for it. I mean, you know, listen, have a plan. Like, know what you're gonna, you know, write. You know what you're gonna talk about, or have ideas that you're gonna talk about. Always write, but you know, it's like anything else. You got to put in the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't just come. You know, if you're lazy in comedy, you're not gonna get far.
That's true, because I know, you know, I'm sure you do too, but I know a lot of comics who've done the same 45 minutes for 15 years, you know. So
yeah, that's not good. That's not good, because I think eventually you know, the audience gets sick of it, you get sick of it, it becomes stale. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to be growing all the time, and things change. I mean, you know, you change, you grow. So, I mean, I have material that I used to do when my kids were babies, and I can't do those jokes anymore because you know, they're older. So I got to write stuff, you know, that's newer. I got to write stuff that's more contemporary. So, you know, like I said, I just I think you just got to make yourself write. And just get up as much as you can. You know, if you're getting up 2-3 times a night, you know, you're going to want to change it up. You're going to want to try something new. So you just got to keep doing it. There's times when I've come from a trip and I'm tired, but I still get up because it's just what I do. You know, it's like going to the gym. You just got to keep getting up.
You got to keep getting stronger.
The next set.
Hey, Maz, did you go to Berkeley and UCLA?
Yeah, so I went to Berkeley for undergrad. I got my my bachelor's in political science, and then I started a PhD program in poli sci at UCLA. I was going to become a professor, but then that's when I decided to drop out, because I'd always done plays when I was a kid. So I wanted to do acting and comedy even before college and in college, but my parents kind of encouraged me not to, because they come from an immigrant background from Iran. I was born in Iran myself, and I think a lot of immigrant parents want their kids to be lawyers or doctors or engineers, and that's kind of what my parents were pushing, and that's why I ended up studying poli sci, because I thought I was going to become a lawyer. And then while I was in undergrad, I decided, you know what, instead of a lawyer, I'll just become a poli sci professor. So I thought that would be kind of a good compromise. Like, my parents could be proud of me for having a reputable job, and I could also be in front of people speaking. But then when I got into the PhD program, I realized I really wasn't into it. And that very first year is when I, you know, first semester, whatever, first quarter, I ended up dropping out to then go and pursue acting and comedy. And here I am.
That's great.
And you have you have 3 stand-up specials. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, I have 4, because if you count the Actions of Evil, which was 4 of us, that was my first one, and then I've got 3 solos that were, so the Actions of Evil was a Comedy Central, and then the other 3 were Showtime specials. So, yeah, well, I've been pretty active with it. I keep touring, and because I tour, I keep coming up with new stuff. And every couple of years, I look at my act and I go, "Oh wow, I got enough new material to shoot another one." So that's kind of how that's transpired.
Well, this question is: which one is your favorite special that you shot? I'm not a terrorist, but I've played one on TV. Or I Come in Peace. Or Brown and Friendly.
You know, I don't know. I haven't watched them necessarily, but I can give you the critiques that I have myself for them. I would say that I'm not a terrorist, but I played one on TV. I feel ran a little bit long. Like, I have it at 1:17, and I think I could have probably cut a little more fat out of it. I Come in Peace was I was really proud of, because it was the first one that I produced myself with my manager Ray Mohit. We actually went to Sweden and filmed it, and that was just a great experience to have, for us to go out there and just make it happen. And so that was great. And then I really was proud of that. And that's the formula we use actually for I'm Not a Terrorist, But I Play One on TV. We produced it again ourselves, but it was in LA this time. But yeah, I mean, they all have, like, you know, the first one, Brown and Friendly, I felt like, you know, there was some stuff again that maybe I could have edged it up a little bit. You know, you're self-critical when you watch stuff, but there's also parts where you go, oh yeah, that still works, or people quote you, or you think about it and you go, oh, that's still good. So, you know, there's bits and pieces that I like and bits and pieces that I could pull apart.
Well,
do you find traveling back, you know, like when you traveled back to Iran, and then you travel to other countries, do you start to change your point of view depending sometimes on the audience?
I don't necessarily change my point of view. What I have learned to do is I've learned to try to come up with some material about wherever I am. You're a fish out of water, really, in every city you go to. So
it's very creative.
If you can absorb a little, observe a little bit.
Yeah.
it will, you know, I think they appreciate it if you start the show with some of your observations. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I will take them into my act. And I learned that by watching Richard Pryor did a special in New Orleans, and I watched him like the first 4 minutes. He was just talking about his week in New Orleans, and then he basically had them. At that point, they were into what he was saying, and then he was able to take them on the journey of his material. So I think I try to do that whenever I can.
That's great.
You know, it doesn't always work because sometimes you fly in the day of the show, so you don't have any material about that
time
place.
Yet, yeah.
But that's usually a good way to go.
I did a small bit locally in Tarzana because, you know, Tarzana is the name of the city founded by Edgar Rice Burroughs' estate, Tarzan. And I couldn't believe it. Immediately the audience woke up and said, oh, Tarzan, Edgar Rice Burroughs, you know, was raised by a gorilla.
Yeah.
And it was that idea, you know, of like we're talking about. And this is great that you're sharing this with us. But the environment, the setting, people love that.
Yeah, Maz, we know that you got to go. But I just have one more question, if I can, because I know you're with
yes,
you.
Sir.
You wrote a book. Is there any plans on writing another book? And did you enjoy writing it?
You know, the writing was an interesting thing. Writing a book was very different than obviously writing stand-up. The way I write stand-up...
Or writing a movie.
Or writing a movie. But it was a long process. It probably took a couple of years. I would write on weekends and any times I had when I was, touring or I just had a little downtime. And it was a good experience. It was basically the same title as that special. I'm not a terrorist, but I play one on TV,
yeah.
And it's my autobiography. I try to tell it in a funny way. I think if I wanted to write another book, I'd have to really come up with a concept that I'd want to write about, because this is just me writing about me.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm an expert on me because I know me. But I don't know. I have to really think about it. I mean, I have some ideas. Maybe I'll get a chance at some point to write like a kid's book or something. I'm not sure. I'll figure it out.
I could see you doing that, writing a kid's series.
Yeah, something. I'm down. Let's do it.
All right.
It worked for J.K. Rowling.
It did.
It certainly did.
Yeah.
Well, Maz, thanks so much for the interview, and I want to respect your time and get you out of here at 7:30.
We really appreciate this, Maz.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
All right.
Say hello to you when we see you.
And we'll talk on Twitter,
care,
pal.
Take care.
All right. Do well.
See
you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That was Maz Jobroni.
What a classy guy, man. Maz, man, cool dude.
Yeah, I wish I would have read the email, because a half hour is just not enough. But we gotta respect our guests' time.
I mean, I don't think you could tell him to leave his kid.
Yeah.
And say, listen,
talk to Keith Reza.
Put that soccer ball down. This is Reza Riffs. Listen, you know, we're trying. We're trying to get Tommy Morris to call us. Tommy, out there?
Tommy Morris?
Yeah. You know, Mitzi, you know, he used to run. Remember how he was at the con? I love Tommy.
No, yeah.
If you're out there,
let's call Stephen Briggs, see if he picks up.
All right. Stephen, are you out there, dude?
Well, I texted him.
Stephen.
The problem with Stephen is he's a headliner now, so he never answers me.
That's what happens when you start to move up. Oh, there we go. This is suspense on the Razor Rib Show.
This doesn't mean it will pick up. It's
suspenseful, dude.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger. Come on, Steven. Pick up, dude.
Pick up, dude.
As if he could hear me. Well, we got... Did you say Richard Villa? It's next online? I really thought it was Steven for a moment.
Steven, it's Keith. We're trying to call you on Razor Riffs.
Yeah, man, we got a whole half hour for you here.
We got a whole half hour, so.
Well, you missed out, dude.
You missed out, pal. So you always say, when are you going to do the podcast?
Yeah,
I call
you.
We
call you not there. Well, how many other people are waiting on
Q-Dub? We got a huge list, man.
We got Richard Villa. We got Mike Muratori. lead guy.
Well, Mike Muratori said he can't do it.
What about Bill Word? He was my teacher in Orange County.
Bill Word?
Yeah, you know who Bill Word is? You know who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was our, like, mentor.
I know Bill Word. Yeah. What? All right, well, Steven, all right, later.
All right, Steve. We'll see you when you get back. So, Mike, now, how about Mike Muratori?
I wonder if we should try Dwyer.
Wow. You got his number?
I do have Dwyer's number, but I don't know. I think maybe I should text him. No,
well, you gotta go ahead and call him. Be bold. Take risks.
That's I'll be scared.
Oh, don't. Come on, dude. How about
I'm looking through my phone book right now.
No, we kind of know that.
I mean, Mike Muratori said no.
How about
Fraser Smith? But that guy never answers.
Smith. How about
Fred Stoller?
Why don't you try Fred? That'd be kind of wild.
No, he might say, why are you calling me?
Fred would say, Fred would say.
Fred doesn't think highly of me right now.
No, he does. He does. He just likes to go to Vegas without you.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. It's a horrible joke, Fred.
Yeah.
We're just kidding.
We can't talk about my personal problems.
No, I'm just saying, you know, he's a loner. That has nothing to do with you. What else?
You want to try Richard Villa?
Yeah, I thought you would.
Nah, we'll try Richard. I just called Steven again.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
Hang up.
I don't know how to hang up. That'd be odd if he answers this time.
That'd be kind of cool, actually.
Hey, what's up, Steven?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Oh, good. Man, you know what?
Guess what? You're on Razor Wrist right now, baby.
You're a guest, man, because you know what?
Oh, nice. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, good. Steven. Alan Lee here.
You were just on after Maz Jabroni, man.
Yeah, so you're following Maz Jabroni. So actually,
I usually follow him.
Yeah, no, he opened for you on our show. So you're actually
You're
headlining. In a way, it worked out. Steven Briggs is headlining the show, and Maz Jabroni opened up for you. Is that wild?
Yeah. So Steven, what happened is Maz emails me and says that he has to leave by 7:30 because his son's playing soccer. And you know how I misread shit all the time, you know what I mean?
Not all the time.
Well, I do it all the time.
Most of the time.
So I thought the email said, call me at 7:30.
Wow.
So I was like,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so how you doing,
buddy? Call me at 7:30, what happened?
Oh, no, he was awesome, man.
Oh, he's great. He's a great guest.
We interviewed him for about 25 minutes, man.
It was almost 30.
Yeah, but
he had to take his son home.
That's so crazy, because that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to watch my son play soccer.
Oh, no. That's so cool. A double soccer deal.
So, I wonder if my kid's playing against his kid.
You know, it's funny. At this time, at 7:30, these games go to 8 o'clock.
They do, yeah.
Is he a goalie? I mean,
is my kid a goalie?
No. I mean, like, is he?
Yeah, he's a goalie. He's a goalie, but not because he's good at it. It's because he's lazy. He doesn't want to run up and down the field. Oh. And a goalie's the only position that you can stand there and pull snacks out of your pocket and start eating it.
Oh, that's so cute.
Steven, I have a question, man. What did you already go on the road with Jerry Bednop? Or was that?
Yeah, I already went on the road with him.
He was our guest.
Yeah, he was our guest.
He was hilarious.
And when I asked him about you, he was like, yes, funny guy. And then he comes up to me after a show. He's like, who the fuck is Steven Briggs?
Oh.
When was this?
What?
How long ago was this?
This was about a month ago.
Yeah, dude. I went on the road with him a week ago. So, yeah, of course. I'm shooting a sketch with him tomorrow.
Oh, are you?
No, he did remember him.
No, I know, but yeah. Jerry was being funny.
He was just being funny.
Alan's afraid I hurt your feelings.
I'm not. I,
oh, you're gonna hurt
Steven,
my feelings. Steven, you think you're gonna hurt my feelings?
Steven
tell me.
Likes.
I don't know.
Oh,
I
stop it. Steven likes me.
If my own mother doesn't know who I am, you think I'm gonna care if someone else doesn't know who I am?
There you go. I told you.
Steven, I think you should tell Alan the Phantom of the Opera story.
I love that.
Tell him the story. It's like a song.
Yeah, do it.
You mean behind it?
I'm not going to sing it to him. Alan, if you want to hear it, buy my album on iTunes.
I will.
I've seen
you do it twice.
Seamless promotion right there.
It's one of my favorite bits of yours.
Steven has an iTunes album out called Whiskey Dick, and I... Stephen, you know
Let's
what's weird?
Let's plug that. Whiskey Dicks, Stephen Briggs on iTunes.
Yeah. You know what's weird, Stephen? Is I gave you my special for free, and you made me purchase your CD.
Here's the thing. Let me rebuttal that. Here's the thing. My album is produced by a record company. Therefore, they don't even give it to me for free.
See?
Seriously?
Yeah, he's a businessman.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
They don't even give they don't even give you free copies for free?
No free copies. Wow. So therefore, if I can't get it for free, I can't give it to anyone else for free.
They have production costs. You know, there's like a, you know, each one costs X amount of.
Yeah. I've been trying to do an album with the guy who did his album, but now that I know I won't get them for free, makes me question if I want that.
Life is not free.
But it was a good experience because the album was hilarious.
Yes. Oh, you listened to it and you liked it?
Of course I did. I told you I would.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, the sound engineer, the guy who did all the sound engineer, he has what do you call that when you win an award in music?
The
Grammy?
The Grammy.
It's a Grammy. He has a Grammy.
Yeah.
Wow.
For doing he did Macklemore's first album.
Wow.
He did whose first that? Album?
Wait a minute.
Say Macklemore, the rapper.
Oh,
he did his first album. So that I was like. I was kind of blown away that the sound guy doing my album has a Grammy.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so I was like, that's very cool.
So
I was like, at least I know he's good at his job.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
So when you filmed it, did you have any openers, or did you just go up and do it?
No, there was some local people that kind of, like, did some stuff in the beginning. They, like, told a few jokes, and then I went up there and just did whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
For, like, an hour.
That's great.
For an hour. Did you do the...
Yeah, and then they cut it down.
They cut it down.
Yeah, because I was improv, too, a lot. So they cut out, like, all the improv I did.
Oh. So what was your favorite improv thing you did that they got cut out? Like, did...
I did this part that was... It specifically only works for when you're recording an album, but... I was like, I'm recording an album. This guy's yelling. I'm like, hey, man, I'm recording an album right now. I don't need any features on my tracks.
That's funny.
I thought you were gonna like share a Keith Reza, Stephen Briggs story on the album or something. Like when we went to Vegas.
I'm saving that for the second album.
You're saving that for the second
there you go. It'll be on the second.
When you can come open for me.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then I can bring you on stage and we can tell a story together.
Yeah,
that would be cute.
You know, I was actually thinking about a story about
that. That's the only time I'll have a feature on my album.
Yeah. Stephen, do you remember when you and I, and I think Michael Benson was with us, but we went to North California to do that comedy competition, and I was on the second show, you guys were on the first show, and...
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, Tommy T's.
Yeah, it was at Tommy T's. So the grand prize, Alan Lee, the grand prize was like, what was it? It was like $5,000 or some shit?
Big chunk of change.
Yeah.
$5,000?
No, I don't think so.
Was
it that high?
How much was it?
$5,000.
I don't think it was that big of a deal. I don't think it was like a big prize. It was like a week of work there and like $500.
It had to be worth it for us to go down.
Maybe it was about $1,500. Maybe it was $1,500. I don't know. I don't think it was $5,000 though.
Okay,
I would have remembered that.
But
I would have tried hard.
But it was enough for us to go. Well, that's the point, right?
I only went because you guys were going.
Yeah, I only went because you said you wanted to go. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is this. So Michael does the stand up first.
Yeah.
He bombs. And then Steven goes up. He does okay, but he doesn't move on. And then they both turn to me. He's like, you better fucking win.
Oh, yeah.
So then...
It sounds like it was quite a road trip.
And then I didn't win.
Oh.
But I got work there, so...
Well, that was kind of a...
Yeah, you did get work there.
I did get work there.
There you go. Yeah. So it wasn't completely...
So what are you doing? Are you...
Have you gone back to this again?
Yeah, I've gone again. I don't...
Man?
Yeah. I think I went with... I don't remember who I went with. I think it was Cisco. You remember Cisco?
Oh, yeah, the guy who wrote the thong song.
No, that was... Cisco the comedian...
Oh, I don't know. I only know Cisco who wrote the thong song.
Oh, well, there's a comedian named Cisco.
No, but when the beat goes da-da-da-da. Rhythm and booty roll, da-da-da-da. Baby, that thong. You know that hit summer jam?
Yeah, yeah. I love that song. Steven, I really want you to tell the Family Opera on my podcast. So will you please do it?
I don't know, because I don't like to sing unless I have to.
I want you to.
Why don't you just play the track?
There you go.
I can't play the track on air. I'm in a studio, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure you have it downloaded on your phone or something like that. If you have iTunes, you can just play it right off your phone, or you can pull it up on a computer if you're in the studio and just play it like that. Bam.
All right. Well, I'll play it, but then if you're not going to do the Family of the Opera, you have to tell us about what happened with your gay roommate, and then we'll call you. We'll get you in the studio.
Oh, man, you just asked me to do all my bits like to an audience of two right now.
No, dude, we got an audience of
four.
My parents are listening.
Okay. Oh, no. I believe you have listeners, but right now it feels like two to me because I'm talking to you two. Did you guys do this to Moz? Did you treat Moz like this and tell him to do his bits?
No, not at all. We had questions for Moz, so but I don't have any questions for you because I know
you're
being
hard on Steven, and Steven called here.
Wouldn't that be even better to have questions for? Because you know me, it'd be easier to ask questions.
Oh, you want a question?
Like, give them those, like, what made you go into comedy, and or who's your favorite comedians, and in high school, what happened to you that made you become a comedian?
Steven, in high school, what happened to you that made you become a comedian?
I went to military school. Oh. And I saw way too many penises.
He went to military school. Did you go to military school with Rob Jurgensen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was.
But I went to two military schools. I think he just was at that one. I went to one right before that, too.
Oh, that's great.
And then,
Steven did.
No, I think he went to college military school as well. Some kind of college military school. So, yeah, he's been to a bunch of military schools.
Steven did a show for the military.
Steven, you're doing the Brea Improv at the end of August?
Yeah. How do you know? How'd you know that?
Facebook.
I'm supposed to be closing it out, but I'm also doing the mop that day. The Regent Theater.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to figure out my schedule so I can do both.
Oh,
because one's in LA and one's in Brea.
Yeah, wait. Where's the other one?
The Regent is.
The other one's in LA.
Yeah, that's in Los
Oh,
Angeles.
You'll make it.
I'm in the Moss storytelling competition that day, so I'm doing the Grand Slam.
Oh, what's the Moss storytelling competitions?
It's a storytelling show that they have. It's on NPR and stuff like that. It's pretty good. It's like people go up there and they tell these stories, long form stories, you know. And so that's what it is.
Wow, that's cool. That's awesome, man. Well,
yeah. So
if you end up going to Brea, call me and I'll come and hang out with you, man.
I'm gonna try to make it for sure.
All right, pal. Well, thanks for picking up your phone and
Steven
you saved
Briggs.
Us.
You really are so cool.
Off stage, so it worked out.
He saved us 13 minutes of awkwardness, and I think I only pissed you off four times.
We put Steven
on. No, you pissed me off 10 times.
See?
I love you, Steven Briggs.
Yeah, man.
That's cool, good sir. You as well, Al.
Thank you, Steven.
All right, bye, guys.
Love
you.
Great guy.
Wait, did you just tell Steven Briggs you loved him?
Yeah. That's Hollywood. I say that to you sometimes, but I get a little weird with you.
It's kind of gay.
I'm afraid to say that to you.
All right, guys.
I try not to say it that often to you.
Well,
if at all.
Give it up one more time for Steven Briggs for picking up. But this episode was about Moz Jabroni mostly. And you guys, if you want to follow Moz on Twitter, you could follow him at Moz Jabroni. And then on Facebook, he has a fan page.
Yes, he does indeed.
And then his movie called Jimmy Vestwood is coming out in October. You guys could purchase that.
Jimmy Vestwood, American Hero.
Yeah, he's also a regular at the Comedy Store, and he's doing the Irvine Improv in October. So you guys could purchase tickets to see that.
Very funny guy.
Yeah. One more time for our sponsors, Raccoon TV, which is a like page on Facebook.
Could you explain it real quickly?
What you do is, what Raccoon TV is they share jokes and captons and videos and stuff about comedy, strictly comedy. and they share the Razor Riffs page. So
it's a fun site.
It's a fun site, man.
You can use it.
And I think Jeremiah Watkins just walked in. We could have asked him to come in earlier. And then our main sponsor tonight was the Stand Up Magazine. And Maz Jobroni was actually on the cover of it.
Happens to be on the cover.
He was on not this episode, but the last issue.
And that's a great magazine.
That's great for comedians.
People who like to follow comedy.
Yeah, and we had to ask him questions about the magazine, but we didn't have time with the soccer thing. But it's a great magazine. If you go to www.thestandup.net and download the stand-up magazine and enter your email, and then in the code word, hit Reza, they'll put you in a drawing to win a free trip to Vegas.
Nice.
That's pretty cool, right?
Very cool.
So do you have anything going on this week and before we close out?
I've got a show up in the future a while at the a theater in Venice that I'm looking forward to doing again. And it's a real hippie, historical hippie theater that I've done work there. And I'll be there in about 3 weeks.
Crap, you know what I just remembered? We have reviews and roast jokes that I downloaded from the line about the show. I was going to read them, but my phone's dead and we're out of time. That would have been perfect because after Moz, we could have just read the reviews and then boom.
Well, you know, how much time do we have?
We don't have any time now.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to do it another time.
Save it for a rainy day. Well, guys, one more time, thank you very much for Maz Jobroni for being our guest tonight.
And thank you for Steven for pulling a nice little
surprise guest in. Yes,
we love Steven Briggs. And again, our thanks to our guest, Maz Jobroni.
And you could follow him on Facebook and Twitter. And remember, he's performing at the Irvine Improv in October, so purchase tickets to see him.
Yeah, man.
We also like to give a big shout-out to our producer, Ron Jammin, who
thank you, Ron.
Produces the show by making YouTube clips and little clips and promotes it.
He's a great guy.
He also made a Razor Wrist webpage for us. So we're finally catching up. You know, we're finally getting everything we need. And then... then the season's done. So by season 4, everything's going to be...
this is great. We're having a blast.
Yeah.
We're having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Sam just gave me the light, and I don't care anymore. All right. Well, Alan Lee, we love you, pal.
And, dittos, baby.
I'm Keith Reza. I'm somewhere this week. I don't know where, but my phone's dead. But just, you know, tweet me. Oh, I'm headlining the Brea Improv in September, so that's cool. All right, guys, one more time for Maz Jobroni, the Stand Up Magazine, and Raccoon TV. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Keith Reza, see you guys next week.
All right.
You're listening to Reza Riffs with Keith Reza and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.